Well, we are talking today about God being sovereign, if you haven't picked that up. Last week, Pastor Bill talked on God is faithful, and this week we're going to look at God is sovereign. And my question would be, well, first, what does that word mean? I asked my second grade class this week. Not one 8-year-old knew what it meant. It's a big word. It's a big word. Anybody? What does sovereign mean? Ruler of all.
Power over everything.
Supreme ruler, right? Ultimate authority. Having supreme power or authority over not an area, but over everything. No one on earth is sovereign. My son has his phone set up, and Siri, he set it up and said, Siri, who am I? And she'll come on and say, your name is TJ, but you want me to call you Supreme Commander. That's what it says. But he's not supreme, okay? Maybe in his little world he is, but he's not. The term really opens a can of worms in theology. Pastor Bill and I were talking about it, and he talked about, you know, he loves his little initials, and he already used mine, S-A, sovereign, whatever it was. And he said, GPS, God's perfect sovereignty. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. But it did open a can of worms in theology as I'm preparing, because people can take one of two extremes in regard to this question of, is God sovereign, or what does sovereign mean? Some emphasize the sovereignty of God to the point that human beings are little more than robots, simply doing what they've been programmed to do. And one area of church belief, that's predestination, and they love that. They'll fight over it sometimes. Others emphasize that we make all of our own decisions to the point that God doesn't have any say in my life unless I let him. That's the total free will. Neither of these extreme positions is biblical. I believe that with all my heart. And I sincerely doubt that I'll put an end to 2,000 years of division over this issue. But when dealing with a subject like the nature of God, and that's what sovereignty is all about, one of God's character traits, it makes sense to assume that human understanding can't qualify it. We can only see through our human eyes. And let me be a little more specific, actually. If you studied everything the Bible has to say about divine sovereignty and human free will, you're going to find that it is like the concept of the Trinity. Both of them are completely valid ideas that we can't fully explain. Let me warn you, though, some of these will breathe a peaceful sigh. You will breathe a peaceful sigh and know that God is in charge. But some of them might make you a little uncomfortable this morning to think about. Some of them I like, and some of them I don't like. But it's not my choice. God is sovereign, not Ruth, right? So we don't have time to study everything. In fact, I told Scott earlier this morning, I had to take out, this was one of the most fun Bible studies I've done, but there are scripture after scripture after scripture, and I ended up with 37 slides on my part of the presentation, and I thought, whoa, if I did one a minute, that's 35 minutes, and that's not time, that's just reading them, right? So I cut about half of them out, okay? I did. If you want more scriptures, let me know, because I was just sitting, it was one of the most exciting Bible studies to understand, oh, God, I knew God in creation, you're going to get a little bit of that, but oh my goodness, is he sovereign when you look at different areas where God is sovereign. And so I made a little outline for you. Let me get the clicker too. And that makes, I can test the sound no matter where I am, huh? If I get brave. Because at one point, I need this little thing to show you something, okay? I'm so excited, I never get to use the laser. So, let's get going. God is sovereign, first of all, over creation. Now, this should not shock you that I would talk about this. Over all of creation, okay? Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And the context there is the him is Jesus. Through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So you see, all of creation, Jesus created it, and it is his. It was created for him. And the cool part is, if you understand the galaxies and the stars, he's holding it all together. Is that awesome? One of these days, he's going to let go. But don't worry. Don't worry. If you're on the right side, you don't have a thing to worry about. Psalm 147, 8 and 9 says, he covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry out. I bet you thought you planted that grass seed, and you may have, but your sprinklers didn't grow it. It says right here, God did it. Wow. I mean, think about that. See, I think we lose sight of that today. We have all this stuff, and we lose sight of, well, maybe we don't even pay attention to grass anymore because we have so many things around us that man has created. We don't see God as much as we used to, unless you got to go to the mountains, which is God's country as far as I'm concerned. The beach might be, but God's more in the mountains, I'm just saying, okay? One more, Amos 4, 7, I also withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to harvest. God's talking to the Israelites. He held back the rain for 3 months. I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. Wow. One field would get rain, would have rain, and the field, and this went over into the white area on that slide, one field would get rain, would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. As I knew yesterday, I was driving, I had to do a thing, we had to work yesterday at school to prepare for summer camp, do staff orientation, and the closer you get to the mountains, the more it was raining. And I thought of this scripture because I hit upland and it was full, not downpour, but full wiper blades on, and as soon as I hit Rancho Cucamonga, I didn't even need the wipers on anymore. And I thought, and many times, I know this scripture, and many times when I've been at school and it's been raining, I've prayed and said, God, would you send one over to my garden over in Pomona, please, you know? And I mean, because it says he does it. I'm not asking him to do something that's weird or special for Ruth. It says one field's going to get rain and the other one's not. And who gets to choose that? God does. I still haven't figured out how to direct the clouds, okay? And even if I did, the rain that's in them. But he is sovereign over all of creation. Outer space, I've talked about that before, and all the stars, so we won't go there this morning. But everything here on earth, every bit of creation. Let's talk specifically about a form of creation. My favorite, oh no, I took my... I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the only time I've ever bought a shirt just for a sermon... But I'm going to talk about chickens, okay? Have you ever talked to a chicken? My shirt says Chicken Whisperer, okay? It's my new name. My kids call me Chicken Whisperer at school now because I can talk to the chickens. Okay, but let's talk about the animal kingdom before we get to chickens. When the Assyrians populated Samaria after they captured the Jewish people, and they sent the foreigners back in. They took the leaders of the Jewish people out, and they sent foreigners back in. 2 Kings 17:25 says, therefore Yahweh sent lions among them, which killed some of them. Whoa. You know, that's the part of God that, like, wow, really? That he sent lions to kill people? But look at Daniel 6:22. You know this one. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. So who tells lions what to eat? Not the lion's tummy, guys. Not the lion's tummy. We are not controlled as much by biology as we think we are. Other scriptures speak of God commanding birds and bears and donkeys and large fish to do his bidding. You know, swallowing people, bringing them food. Okay. Exodus tells us that God commanded every fly to leave Egypt. And it said, and they all left. I've tried to command a fly to get out of my face. Or I'm commanding that rat to get out of my laundry room. And now I'm just praying, God, you commanded flies. Will you command the rats? Because I don't have the power to do it, guys. I don't have authority. And all this means, this is not the comfortable part, that calamities that where animal life are ultimately are under the control of God. And he sees a coyote attack a pet, or even a child. I don't understand that, but he does. And he could, with one word, command that mouth to be shut. And sometimes he doesn't. What then? This God of ours is sovereign. He controls the invisible plant and animal life too. And it wreaks havoc in our world. And I'm talking bacteria and viruses and parasites. Thousands, millions, billions of microscopic beings that destroy health and life. If God can shut the mouth of a ravenous lion, he can shut the mouth of a malaria-carrying mosquito and nullify every other animal that kills if he chooses to. But when you look at how majestic his sovereignty is in nature, to me, and we mentioned it, Craig mentioned it earlier, it helps you trust him when nature behaves badly. He's sovereign in the earthquake. And I felt a few of them. I was at school one day this week, and the first time I felt one at school, and the wall shook. It was one big thrust. Not a big one. It wasn't that bad. But it was, I'm like, who's in charge? God is. Okay? God is in the earthquakes. And when things go well in nature, when you enjoy the beauty, that same God is the one that's controlling the shaking and the rattling and the rolling. Proverbs 3:19-20 says, by wisdom Yahweh laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. He used some tools, wisdom and understanding, which of course he created. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop their dew. The dew drops in the morning on your car window. Who put them there? I was always taught it was condensation. Bible says God did. Wow. See, we have this bent about science that we can just explain it all away, and we can use scripture and see that our God is an awesome God. Earlier verses in this chapter, and a lot of the Proverbs especially, tell us to find wisdom and gain understanding. Search for it with everything you've got. In 19 and 20 here, it tells us that God, what he was able to do with wisdom and understanding. He's able to do some amazing things, right? And we're created in his image. So with wisdom and understanding, we're created to do some amazing things with nature. And that means I have the ability to do some of the same things that God does. Now, I am not saying, not nearly to the level God does, of course, but we're created in his image. He spoke and everything came into existence. We know we have lots of power in our words. What we speak tends to be what comes true. But let me ask you, have you ever talked to a chicken? No? No? Okay, in Job 12:7-10, God says to Job, ask the animals and they will teach you. What? You're going to go to the insane asylum for talking to animals thinking they're going to talk back. Or the birds in the sky, well, that includes the chicken. They don't stay in the sky very long, but and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Next time you go fishing, pull that fish up, and when he goes, he's talking to you. Well, maybe not. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? If these creatures know God, how much more us who are created in his image? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Every breath we breathe is from God. God's telling us to talk to the animals. Okay? I don't know if he means literally, but the gist is to ask questions of nature because it tells us all about God. How did we learn how to fly? We watched the birds. We figured out their muscle structure, figured out how they had to move their wings. Okay? Everything we have is a copy of what God made us. So if we want to understand God and understand animals, we need to be asking questions and studying. So again, I ask you, have you ever talked to a chicken? Yep, I have. I do every day. And mine talk back. I'm not crazy, I promise. But I can't quite interpret the language yet. I have hens, and we started with the baby chicks. And they started making this cheeping noise, as baby chicks do. And I kept practicing. And I kept practicing every time I was out there, and I'd talk to them. I always tell them, good morning, I have your food. Good morning, girls. Did you leave me any eggs? And so, but when they were babies, I would try to cheep back. And one day, they turned around and cheeped back at me. And I'm like, whoa. So I kept practicing. And so I can speak chicken. Now, I don't know what I'm saying. I can. Listen. I can speak baby chicken. And they, now they're bigger. The bigger ones are bigger. I still have a couple of new babies. And the bigger ones, when I do that noise, they come up to me and let me pet them under their neck. All the other times, they walk away. So somehow, they know what I'm saying. I have no idea. I don't think tongues in Scripture was meant to be the animal kingdom, okay? But apparently, I speak in chicken tongue. But God is sovereign over the animal kingdoms, and it's interesting that he gave us dominion over it. It's just taught me that, you know, I'm sure you have pets. I can read my dogs loud and clear. I know when they're excited. I watch these shepherds, and they pounce up and down, and they're ready for their walk, if I walk toward the leash, right? You can read them because we have dominion over them. We're smarter than they are. Well, we should be anyway. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we humans really understand all that it means. It's probably more than we can take. We do take advantage of. Maybe we should watch TV a little less and go out and listen to creation more to understand God and his ways. So I have a new title. It's Chicken Whisperer. My kids at school call me Chicken Whisperers because they'll say, do the chicken sound. All right, enough about creation. Let's look at another one. There's one thrown in for you. Romans 1:20. Well, that's kind of fun because I don't see that here. That's what I wanted to talk to you about, the chicken egg. Because God in his sovereignty, but I want to show you that some of the things he's sovereign about, he sets up systems. And I don't know if you can see in this one, but do you see those bubbles in there? Do you know that a chicken egg, the shell, has about, are you ready for this? 30,000 holes in it. And do you know if it had more, it would let too much air in and the baby chicken would dry out and die. And if it had less, it couldn't breathe enough and the baby chicken would die. 30,000 holes. And that's those little bubbles that come up when you put them in water. The little bubbles are trying to get the air out of the egg. They let in oxygen, the pores do, and they let out the little baby chick's waste, carbon dioxide, which is what we breathe out too, of course. Well, I don't know if you've ever noticed, that's weird. Back this a little easier up here. But do you ever notice there's a flat side on one end of the egg? That's not from setting the chickens or the eggs up on one end. That flat side has an air sac right here. You don't have to worry about all this stuff, but an air sac right there. And if you've ever peeled, that's the membrane. If you've ever peeled the egg and you peel and you try to get the membrane because it makes it so much easier to peel, but one end has a big chunk in it. Well, that's because we don't have eggs that had baby chicks inside. But that sac of air, on day 19, it takes 21 days to form a full-size chicky baby. On day 19, a chicken has, not that one, we want the next one. That's what I want to show you. This is a baby chick. Do you see that little tiny tooth right there? That grows, it'll fall off as he gets older, but that grows, that's a day, a 1 minute old chicken. And that little, it's called an egg tooth. And when he is inside that egg, the first thing he does with it is reaches up and scratches that egg sac on day 19. He scratches that air sac. And you know, there is exactly 6 hours of oxygen inside that little sac. And so he has 6 hours to make his way through that little sac, to tear it open, and to peck his way out of the shell. Exactly. Guys, and this happens millions. I know it happens that doesn't happen in mine because I don't have a rooster. But it happens millions of times a day, every 21-day cycle, that day 19, he has to crack through there. And by day 21, he's got 5 hours to make a hole in the outside shell. Takes him another day and a half to get that whole shell off and pop out. But that's how God's got it down to a fine art. He's sovereign. He said it. He didn't want to have to sit probably and peck every little chicken out of their shells. He's like, I got a system. I can do this. His wisdom, his intelligence. Okay. And in Scripture, you know, he says we are worth far more than sparrows. Sparrows. And a baby sparrow, a baby chick look an awful lot alike. And we are worth far more than that. God is so awesome and creation is so awesome. Now, let's see, we went there and we went there and let's go back. God is sovereign. We're going to keep going over events that appear to be random. Okay. We got all of creation, the animal kingdom specifically, but look at this verse. Proverbs 16:33, the lot, that's casting a dice in the Old Testament, it was called the thummim and the, I want to say yummim, but that's not it, the urim and the thummim. They had names for the two dice that was inside the priest's vest, and he had to cast the lots, he had to roll the dice. It's every decision is from the one that rolls the dice. No, it's from Yahweh. Every decision of a dice roll, I wonder if Las Vegas knows that. Okay? Seriously, every decision of a dice roll is from Yahweh. Wow. There are, we think we make decisions, guys, and we do. We'll get there in a minute because he is sovereign, but we do have free will also. It appears random. There's an awesomeness in this so-called randomness. This is where we get the fun stories to share, right? This is where, like, things just happen out of the blue, or I call them God incidences. We might call them coincidences. There was, years ago, when I lived in Kentucky, there was a friend of mine was a single mom like me, and at the time, her daughter was 6 years old, and already had the faith in Jesus. I was a pretty new believer, and she outfaithed me. And inspired most of us adults around her that she just believed. Mom didn't have a lot of money. Her daughter rarely asked her for anything, but she started asking her for a playhouse. You know, the kind you build outside in the backyard. And mom started setting aside a little bit of money, hoping that she could get her one for her birthday. And sure enough, she bought the playhouse. And I went over and helped her try to put it together and set it up. And as we were setting it up in her backyard, we moved that playhouse 3 different times. No, no, it's not going to work here. That's not level. Okay, no, it's not over here. That's. And so finally, we moved it to the third spot, and it sat flat, and it was even halfway under a tree. And so she had a little bit of shade. And her daughter told her mom that she needed a floor. And mom, and it was kind of fun, if you're a single mom, especially struggling financially, you feel a little inadequate that I couldn't do that. I didn't have the money to buy the wood and the whatever. And this little girl said, I heard her say this. She said, it's okay, mommy. Jesus will give me a floor. And now, my friend and I were talking later, and she was totally stressed out, panicked that her daughter's faith was going to be crushed because of an unanswered prayer, right? That she couldn't even bear the thought that she might think that God didn't hear her or didn't answer her prayer. But her daughter never mentioned it again. And every day that the weather was good, you know, she had a little broom and a dustpan. Every day she'd go out there and dust. They made some curtains out of some old pillowcases. And she just kept that playhouse spick and span and played in every day. A few months later, my friend calls me crying. And I'm thinking, what on earth has happened? She said, Ruth, I can't tell you. We're okay. You got to come over here, though. And so I drove over, and she said, you are not going to believe this. Phyllis came in this morning saying, Mommy, Mommy, Jesus answered my prayer. I have a floor in my playhouse. Come and see it. Come and see it. And she walked me out. And she had been sweeping this dirt, the grass went away, the dirt, every day. And apparently, years before they moved in, someone had poured a small concrete base. Maybe a shed, I don't know. But do you know, over the years, it had covered over with dirt, and then the grass had grown over it, and eventually it just looked like the rest of the yard. And unbelievably, after moving 3 times that shed, we set up that playhouse exactly in the right spot so that it was set over the concrete so God could answer that little girl's prayer. We didn't have faith. We thought she was crazy. Like, wow, that silly little child. We were fools, okay? Because she knew that Jesus would give her a floor. And in fact, that she published that story in Guidepost Magazine back in the late 80s. I hope you can see how absolutely awesome God's sovereignty is. He's so powerful and so mighty that he can set gazillions of stars in space and remember every one of their names. We've talked about that before. But he's also so loving and so gentle that he can direct the action of adults, not just ours, but people 20 years in advance he keeps track of, to know that 20 years from now that little girl, I don't know how long it was, but years later that little girl's going to need, and so we're going to pour that right there. Man, that blows your mind. And those are the ones we have to hang on to. when he doesn't make sense. Because there are things, everything, he sees everything outside of time. Guys, we see everything because we are in time. We are on the timeline. He created the timeline. He's out here, and we're on the timeline. It's awesome. It's awesome to see him using multiple purposes over and over. So let's look at another one. Not done. God's sovereign over the plans in our daily lives. Proverbs 16:9, a lot of verses on this one, but we'll only do a couple. A man plans his steps, but the Lord determines the path. What? Okay. I'm glad. See, I think I determine the path. I've been wrong. I determine my steps. You know, that Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The light, God determines the path. It's a lamp for my feet. It shows you one step at a time. Wow, our God is so awesome. We're going to leave that one and move on to the next one. God is sovereign over the timing of each person's life and death. Mm-hmm. A lot of people agree that God's sovereign over the beginning of life, but they don't like the idea that God is sovereign over the time and the manner of its death. Of their death. Let's look at Deuteronomy 30. These are harsh scriptures. They're cold when you look at them by themselves, but in context. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. That's not Moses talking. That's God talking. Okay. That's sobering, don't you think? When I read that, I'm like, I don't like that one. I want the, oh, God is so good all the time. And he is still so good all the time. But this is reality. Not as much our control as we think. This one, even. 1 Samuel 12:6, Yahweh kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol, the abode of the dead, not hell. Hell is the place of eternal consequence, but Sheol was the abode of the dead waiting for Jesus. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. Okay. Yahweh kills and brings to life. Yeah, we know life comes from God. Now, we do have choices over some of these areas. In our knowledge of the invisible world, like chemicals and bacteria and viruses, we can expose ourselves to these things and deny sometimes that they're even going to hurt us. And so God has the timing of our death down, but maybe we control the quality of how we do it. Now, I'm not talking accidents and things like that, but I'm talking lifestyles. I have a teacher at my school who drinks a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke every day. And I don't say anything because it doesn't do any good to preach to people that don't want to hear. But there are a couple of them that were at lunch table, and they'll be asking questions, and we'll talk. And over and over and over, she'll say, I'm going to die of something. Okay. But we don't necessarily have to choose. The path that she's going to die is slow poisoning. No, it's not what she might think. I mean, I want to die one day too. I want to be like Moses. He was 120 years old. God said, climb the mountain. He climbed it all by himself. No ropes, no assistance, no guides. He climbed to the top of this mountain. 120 years old. I want to do that. I'm going to climb Mount Baldy on my 100th birthday if Jesus hasn't come back yet. Okay? You know, when I lived in New York, we went to the Empire State Building one time, and I've shared a little bit of the story, but it works so well here. I thought of it as I'm thinking of God's sovereignty and our free will. When I was up at the top on the observation deck, I saw, you could see Broadway, and it is a Broadway. It's a broad street, named appropriately. And I thought, and I looked down, and I've shared that there was a cab that was, had turned down an alley, I'm pretty sure it was a cab from what I saw, and it turned down an alley, and I could see the alley was going to veer, but it was dead end. I could see from where I was up there, but he couldn't see that apparently. So he got to the end, and he must have had to do like a 50-point turn to turn around. It's like that inch thing, you know, and I thought, man, if I had a radio, I could have told him. And then I thought, wow, God's like that. He can see from so much higher than we can see. And if we'll radio him, he'll say, I believe with all my heart on this earth in my life, he has a broad way. He has a direct path from me, from where he found me to heaven. Or maybe I should say where I found him to heaven. He has a direct path. But I'm like that taxi cab driver. I'm like, you know what? I think I'll take a shortcut. I'll go over here. And you know what? I get lost in all those little side streets sometimes of my life, right? Do we have any of those? Am I the only one? But, you know, I get lost in them. And I think they're good for me. I'm preaching to me, okay? Oh, that tastes so good. It'll be okay. I'll just eat it. I still struggle with that sometimes, even though I haven't had sugar for 8 years. Nobody will know. You know, those are all that's not the cab. The cab driver is dressed in black and has little horns, okay, for me. And I can easily go down that road. And it might mean, oops, I'm not feeling too well today. Oh, my stomach hurts. Oh, my, God didn't ordain that. That was my choice. Okay. Now, some of that is we don't know. We don't know all these things. I mean, the world could, it's sort of what my friend says at school, I'm going to die of something. But I don't have to. Once I do learn about these things, I get to make choices, okay? And we know, I could talk about behaviors might be a little more comfortable for all of us, you know? We know if we're promiscuous, the chances of sexually transmitted diseases, the chances of divorce and kids being estranged and things like that, you know, skyrocket. And so we could talk about those side streets of those things too. But God's got this path for each one of us. From the day we accepted him, and he's like, I've got a broad way for you. And I'm above the Empire State Building. I can see where you're going if you'll listen to me. Yes, you might get off, but I love the grace that says, God, I'm so sorry. And he said, take a right, and you'll come right back onto Broadway again, and you're on the same path. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Ah, I just love that idea. So he is sovereign over the plans of our daily lives. Let him rule yours. That's what he wants to do. Okay, how about this sovereign over the timing of each person's death as well? Let's look at he's sovereign over the choices that humans make. What? I don't get to make my own choice on things. I think sometimes we think we do, but I'm not making this up. Look at scripture. Genesis 20 and verse 6, then God said to Abimelech, he was the leader in the Abraham and his wife Sarah, remember she lied, or he lied and said, it's my sister. So Abimelech said, hey, I can take the sister and I'll make her part. And he had this dream and he wasn't allowed, he didn't touch her. And here's the answer. Then God said to him, to Abimelech in the dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, because he said, hey, he lied to me. He told me, he was telling God this, he told me that was his sister. I didn't know, but I didn't touch her. It says, and it was I who kept you from sinning against her, against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. So, you know, we think we're making these choices, but it's God, I think with all my heart, that planted that in our head and said, don't do it. And of course, we have the Broadway side streets that we can go, well, it's okay, I get it. Or we're not listening, or we're not connected to God, or we're not in his word. We don't know what's right and wrong in some cases, right? So he's sovereign over the choices that humans make. Proverbs 21:1, it says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Now, do you think that works for presidents too? Okay. See, we think, we elect. I just wonder, this last election, it was so unpredicted. And I respect Mr. Trump. I do believe he's God's man for this time. But I also believe Mr. Obama was at the same time. And I'm going to tell you whether I voted for him or not. But, oh yes, I will. I didn't. So, but God determines the hearts of the king. And he'll turn it. Well, I believe each president we have is God's appointed person. Sometimes it's to bring about destruction, to bring the country farther down, because God's got a plan to wipe us out. And I'm not talking America. I was talking about the Jewish nation. Okay. Sometimes it's for advancing the kingdom and advancing the world's cause. We ought to be praying for our leaders, guys. It's not an option for us. We need to. We need to. Okay, this one is a heart render. In the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, this is my favorite story with Daniel, and that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. So he made a proclamation. That's when the first time the Jews returned to their nation after they'd been taken captive. And Daniel was in Persia then too, and Cyrus came along. Wasn't a believer. But God took a non-believer and made him make a choice for the believing nation. He'll do that for us too. We need to be praying for our leaders, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not. We need to be praying for them. Okay, last one. God is sovereign over the unjust death of his own son. These are sobering. Look at this. It's like, I know I've seen this in context, but Acts 2:23, this Jesus who was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Peter's talking there in his Acts sermon. Who was delivered up according to the definite, the absolute pre-planned plan and foreknowledge. Sure, he knew about it ahead of time, but he even planned how it was going to happen. Wow. Wow. Look at this one. Yet it was Yahweh's will to crush him, causing him to suffer. Wow, that makes my heart hurt. When we sing songs of Jesus, I am so in love with you. And then I hear it was Yahweh's will to crush him, causing him to suffer. Why? Because he loves me that much. Man, how awesome is our God, guys. How awesome and sovereign is our God that he'll make hard decisions. And oh, I think he does that in our lives sometimes too. He'll crush us, cause us to suffer. I wish it weren't the case. Yes, I know humans can, because I know we have free will and some people are just bad. But I also know that God can too. In the Goliath series, I took a look at Psalm 139, and I think it bears repeating some parts of it here. We need to make God's sovereignty personal, like David did. These aren't things we just get to pick. We aren't some random series of events that make up our lives. There aren't even a few coincidences. I don't believe that at all anymore. Okay. David said, you've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. That's my whole day. I'm either sitting or I'm rising. I mean, how about you? I mean, I'm either doing one or the other. No, you're not. I don't know. What, is there a third option? Because I haven't figured one out. You know, you perceive my thoughts from afar. That's scary. Control, be controlled, you know, let your mind be renewed. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. In the morning when I leave, when I come back at night and lay down and go to bed, he knows it all. Before a word is on my tongue, you know what I'm going to say. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me. God's hand is on you right now. And whether you're a believer or not, his hand is on you right now. I will rise, if I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand's going to guide me. Your right hand's going to hold me fast. God, whatever comes my way, I can trust you. And you notice that song? And then the next one is, God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. It takes two. My favorite part of that is your eyes, jump on down in Psalm 139. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We already talked about he's sovereign in every human's life. I know that from personal experience. You know, I know when I had a knife held to my throat and God said, the power of life and death is in my hands, not his. Don't be afraid. I was shocking. I'm like, you know what? That's what he says in his word. Except he said it to me personally. And at the time, and I wasn't afraid because I can believe God. I'm like David when he went up against the bear and when he went up against the lion. Whoa, he had to use those experiences when he went up against Goliath. I love it that he didn't look and go, whoa, Goliath is big. I don't even find he thought about Goliath. It's like, I went up against the bear. I went up. This guy's nothing compared to those things. You know, I love that. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. How many times he thinks of us. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm with you. You can't get more personal than that. Walking, talking, knowing everything you're going to say, loving you even when you say it and he didn't want you to, whatever it might be. Well, let me wrap this up. So, worship team, if you want to come up, I know we're going to sing another song. God is sovereign. Period. No exclamation point. It should be up there. Although God's sovereignty is everywhere, it doesn't mean we're always going to be able to discern what he's doing or to understand why. I think we ask why way too often. It doesn't matter. There's a song out. I can't remember who sings it. I think it's Casting Crowns. It starts out, why? The question that is never far away, but healing doesn't come from the explained. I think we need to change our question. When I don't understand, we need to say, what do you want me to do, God, in this? How do you want me to behave when I'm in a massive amount of pain? What do I do when my mom is dying? What do I do to take care of my papa who can't go to the bathroom anymore and I have to change his diaper? What do I do in these times, Lord? Not whine and complain about him. He's sovereign. He knows what your mama and your papa are going through, or that little baby that's got something wrong with it. He knows. He knows. He just wants, what are we going to do in it? Sovereignty, God's sovereignty, I believe with all my heart, is supposed to comfort us, not be an issue for us to argue over. And in this song, it quotes loosely Romans 8:28, for we know in all things, we should know now that means everything, all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God is sovereign.